This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
This plague is out there, but people need to repent. People need to get their hearts right with God, get back to what's really important, and ask God to forgive us for aborting over 60 million babies. Ask God to forgive us as a nation for not supporting Israel. You know, the whole BDS movement, boycotting Jewish people and Jewish businesses, that's not of God. Just all of these things that America's been doing, it's time for America to get back on her knees, begin to pray. And he said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal this land. How many believe God can forgive us and heal this land and bring restoration? Because when you give your heart to Jesus, when you get serious and humble yourself before him, something happens and he equips you. He equips you with a new DNA. He equips you with a new immune system. You know, they say there are people that are totally immune to this coronavirus. And by the way, we ought to take a look at not only the number of people that are dying. Did you know that there are 159,000 people who've gotten the coronavirus and have survived? 159,000. And I tell you, I believe that God does something with our blood when we get born again that puts an immunity in there, beefs it up so that you are more, healthy and resistant to viruses and that sort of thing. I truly believe that. But it's going to take us getting as a nation back to God. And so let's just take a minute right now. In case you're not there and you don't have this covenant, this wonderful covenant, let me just share this with you in Ephesians. And then we'll pray. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 2. And so when the people repented in the Old Testament, the plagues stopped. When they made atonement for the sins of the people, the plagues stopped. In Ephesians chapter 2, it tells us that, let's see, Ephesians 2, and it says, guess what, I'm in Galatians, all right? No wonder I couldn't find it. All right, here we go. Ephesians chapter 2, all right, and Ephesians chapter 2, oh, here we are. And it says in verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ. You know, before you came to the Lord, you were without Christ, being aliens of the commonwealth of Israel. There are people that are aliens to the kingdom of God and the strangers from the covenants of promise. You have a covenant with Almighty God if you're a child of God. And you don't have to be a stranger to that covenant. You can make Jesus the Lord of your life. And have a brand new covenant, God's a binding covenant, by the way, that where God says everything that I have is yours. And I'll watch over you and I'll give you authority over the kingdom of darkness, authority over sicknesses and diseases. That's right. But they were without God, without hope, it says, without God, without hope. But listen, you're not without God when you make him Lord of your life. Romans 15 says he is the God of hope. And so you can make him Lord of your life and have a whole new existence, a whole new vibrancy and enthusiasm in your life, a whole new strength in your life, praise God. So let's do that right now. Those people are without God, without hope, but you don't have to be. And he'll take any person. It doesn't matter what your life is like. You might be a drug addict. You might be a drug pusher. You might be a human trafficker. You might be an identity theft thief, an identity thief. You know what? God will take you just where you are, and he'll put you into his kingdom, give you a brand new start, giving you a covenant with him. Let's just pray this prayer right now. Everybody together, say this with me. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blood of Jesus that gives me remission of sins. That means you took my penalty. You took my guilt. You took my shame. You forgive me now by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, Father, I receive your forgiveness. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Thank you for a first-class plan for my life. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you're a child of God when you've prayed that prayer, meant it in your heart. And that means you've reconciled with God. The Bible tells us to do that. Be you reconciled to God. So all that you're hearing in the news then are from people who perhaps are without a covenant. They need Jesus. And they don't need to be aliens or strangers or without hope, right? And so keep that in mind, that they don't have what you have. In other words, they don't have the resources that you have. All they may have is hydroxychloroquine and a Z-Pack. But I'm telling you, you got much more than that. You've got Jesus. You've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. You've got the fire of God that'll burn out anything. Amen. Praise God. So you don't need to be in fear, and because you're covered by the blood. So I guess what we're saying today is this, that the Bible is clear. It predicts things like this are going to happen. It predicted over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, that in the last days there's going to be perilous times. Perilous times. Pandemics, sure. Earthquakes. I think there was just an earthquake in Idaho. Pretty severe one, what, 6.5 on the Richter scale, something like that. And so what's Jesus say this is? This doesn't mean we're in the tribulation period. This doesn't mean that the vials and the seals and the trumpets have been opened and that we missed the rapture. No, what it means is that we are in the beginning of birth pains. That's what Jesus said about it. We're in the beginning of birth pains, and that comes prior to a massive harvest. And we're seeing it already, church. We're seeing a massive harvest of souls, people coming to Jesus as a result of this. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, that in the latter times, some are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. You just got to be absolutely determined. I am not going to be one of those guys that I'm going to give heed to seducing spirits. I'm not going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And I am not going to depart from the faith. No way. I'm digging my heels in. I am not going to be derailed. I'm going to stick with Jesus. I will not be deceived. Amen? Amen. So we must individually be determined that current events are not going to derail you from your passion for Jesus. And so refuse to be lukewarm in your relationship with Jesus. Refuse to be anything but fervent in spirit, as it says in Romans 12:11. You want to be like David, who had one thing on his heart. He says, this one thing will I desire, and that will I seek after, and that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. And so that's what he wanted to do. Be in the presence of God. Be where the power and the presence was, so that he could just bask in his presence. And see, this is what this is all about. This will keep you from backsliding. Whenever you have this relationship with him, you have a compassionate, passionate relationship with Jesus where you can just chill out. He's going to tell you how much he loves you, and you just tell him how much you love him. And it's a great love relationship, see? And that's going to keep oil in your lamps. Remember those five virgins in Matthew 25 who didn't have oil in their lamps? That's what I was talking about. The Holy Spirit, you see, gives you that passion for him. The Holy Spirit's in there. He represents the oil represents Jesus, I should say, or represents the Holy Spirit. And so you keep that fire in you through your relationship, through your up-close conversational relationship with him. And so on Sunday, we talked a little bit about this. Turn with me to Psalm 86, I believe it is. Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Psalm. Or maybe it's 83. Hang on one second. Yeah, let's look at Psalm 84. 84. Let's see if I got the right one here. 63. I'm sorry. 63. I'm getting it here. Okay, Psalm 63. Okay, here it is. Oh God, thou, and this is a psalmist now. This is David speaking here, and he says, oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Earnestly, one translation says, will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Why? To see thy power and thy glory. He wanted to see the manifest presence of God. He wanted to soak in his presence a while, bask in his presence, see, so he could see God's power and his glory. And he goes on to say, so as I have seen in the sanctuary, he'd already experienced it. But that gave him a passion. He desired to go back to that place where he just basked in the presence of God. Verse 5 says, my soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Now we've been talking, we talked a little bit on Sunday about this idea about basking in God's presence. Once you get born again, the next step is to begin to communicate with him. In your intimate communion, you're going to find fears leave your life. If some of you are bound by fears right now, I'm telling you that this is the key to it. Just entering into this wonderful intimacy with Jesus, and it's going to push the fears right out of your life. Because God, you're going to be very cognizant that God is with you. He's in you. He's for you. And it'll push the fears right out of your life. That's what Andrew Womack said. He said that whenever you have this intimacy with Jesus, it'll push fears out of your life. Amen. So, let's say it the other way around. Fears will leave when you what? When you have this intimate communion with him. And so, we were talking about basking. And basking is simply, or soaking, whatever you want to call it, just getting in a nice recliner chair, stuffed chair or whatever, and just sit there and just shut your eyes and just rest in the Lord and let him tell you how much he loves you. And you tell him how much you love him. Or maybe you're going to just lie down on the floor and in the privacy of your bedroom or wherever and just soak. Just soak up that love that God has for you and have that kind of communion and relationship with him. Or maybe you just want to walk by a stream somewhere, on a walking trail or something, and you can do the same thing. But great things happen when you do, because you're going to be doing the same thing that David did, and you're going to be experiencing his power and his glory. Amen. And so, Psalm 84, I guess I was going to the right place for another scripture. Psalm 84, notice what it says here. David speaking in Psalm 84, verse 10 to 12, it says, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Wow. He'd rather be a doorkeeper at the entrance of God's house, just experiencing a little bit of the presence of God, than to be among the tents of wickedness. And, you know, I said a minute ago about those people. I mentioned like maybe an identity theft or a thief or somebody that is into human trafficking or drug-related, drug addiction or whatever it is. But you see, those people have no peace. It says the tents of wickedness. They have no peace. They have no real peace in their lives. But you and I have the Prince of Peace. And the Bible says in Romans 5:1, wherefore being justified by faith, we have peace with our God. Jesus is the answer. He is the Prince of Peace, and he's the God of peace. And there's only one way to get to the Father, and that's through Jesus. And so you enter into this relationship where you experience a peace that passes all understanding. Man, people need peace right now, don't they? Everywhere you look, people are running scared and fearful, but you don't need to be. No, you can have this peace that passes all intellectual thoughts or intellectual capabilities, and it passes all understanding. This peace. He says, peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, and when you see these things come to pass, see that you be not troubled. See that you be not alarmed, one translation says. Because why? Because the Prince of Peace is on your side. And if God's for you, who can be against you? And he will enable you to get through this time and of confinement or isolation, whatever you call it, right? So David says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Why? Because he can just bask in God's presence and get directives from heaven. And just like a shortwave radio tunes in to get a message from someone, well, we want to tune in to God and get direction from him. Listen for him telling us how much he loves us. Giving us direction for our lives, telling us what we need to do. Well, you know what? People all over the world are doing this soaking or this basking, whatever you want to call it. And people are experiencing fears actually dissolving in their lives because of this. So this is a very relevant subject right now. As a matter of fact, I want to tell you about a guy. See if I can find it here in my notes. He was actually a captain in the Navy. Let me see. All right. Here it is. I think right here. Yeah. This guy was a naval aviator. Listen to this now. Captain Kevin Hutchison, U.S. Navy, had 3,800 hours of flight time in an A-7 and an F-18. And he has 1,000 carrier landings. He was previously commanding officer of the strike fighter squadron forward deployed in Japan, 24 years in the military. His last assignment was a battle group operations officer for the USS John F. Kennedy, a carrier strike group. And he had oversight of 9 ships, his own and 8 other ones, on the USS John F. Kennedy. That's approximately 10,000 men that he supervised. And listen, this guy was born again, spirit-filled, and he encouraged his men on that ship to come to a service, at, you know, with the chaplain, and I mean, where they have a place on the USS John F. Kennedy, where they gather together and they worship God. And they started this kind of soaking thing or basking before the Lord in the middle of the Persian Gulf. Now, he's the commander. And people were so encouraged by the presence and the power of the Lord. Here's a Navy ship, battleship, in the middle of a spiritual warfare area, right? Persian Gulf. And while deployed, they encouraged the chaplain to start this Pentecostal service. And so they introduced hungry sailors and to the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit through basking and in his presence. You see, you develop an intimate relationship with the Lord and you hear directly from him. And when that happens, you'll never be the same. And so he encouraged participants to see God as bigger than they imagine him to be in their natural finite thinking. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 22:6 that he inhabits the praises of his people. He tabernacles in the praises of his people. So he encouraged them to begin to praise the Lord. And what happened? They were actually invoking that manifested presence, that glory to come in on this battleship. Glory to God. And here, this guy's the commander. And so there was a real tangibility that overwhelmed everyone in that place. The glory of God. Some had visions. One woman, she just wandered by it by mistake, and she got born again. And she wept openly as God ministered to her and healed her from her past. There was an older petty officer who was lying on his side on the floor, wonderfully grinning on his face, and he said it was the most wonderful experience he had ever had, as though God was holding him in his arms, and he didn't want to leave that place. Healing him from some situations in his past. So he encouraged the guys to invoke God's presence in their own, what they call the rack, where they sleep at night. And so some guys did this later. And they felt so peaceful, one of them could never sleep on his back before. But when he did this and just laid there and kind of soaked before the Lord, God changed that. A lieutenant who walked into the evening service one time, by mistake, had no idea what was going on. He experienced the glory of God. He left and he gave the captain a wonderful hug with tears streaming down his cheeks as God was restoring him and healing his heart. Where does this happen? As you're just ministering to the Lord, basking in his presence. Healed people of offenses from their past and was doing deep healing in different people. And then these people were able to forgive their offender. Listen, this is more than just salvation. It's the fact that God wants to have an entire life operating in and by the Spirit. That's what he wants for us, to live and operate by the Spirit. So God's pouring out his Spirit on the USS John F. Kennedy. Hallelujah. I was excited to hear about that. So you know what? You and I can do that too. And you can be healed. You can be transformed by the power of God. But we've got to take that time to rest in his presence. Hey, I heard this the other day. COVID. C-O-V-I-D. Christ over virus, infection, and death. I like that, don't you? Christ over virus, infection, and death. What's that, an acrostic, I guess they call it, something like that, acronym, something like that. Anyhow, glory to God. Well, I'm glad I came tonight, and why don't we just take a minute right now? Our worship team, I think, is departed, but let's just take a minute right now. Lift your hands to heaven, and let's just bask in his presence for a moment. God, we thank you that you're real. We thank you that you touch hearts. Father, thank you for touching that person right now, that person that needs a special touch from you, Lord, giving them assurance and confidence, Lord, that you've forgiven their sins. They've prayed and you have forgiven them. And to not allow the enemy, the accuser, to come back and accuse you any longer, because you have faith in the blood of Jesus. That's right. Romans 3:25 says to have faith in the blood of Jesus. What his blood has done for you. He's taken your shame, taken your guilt, taken every bit of your penalty so that you can be a brand new creation in Christ, walking free from all the past. Thank you for doing it, Lord. You're so good. Well, thank you, folks, for tuning in tonight. We love you, and keep the faith now. Amen. Remember Jesus said in Luke 18:8, when I return, will I find faith in the earth? Yes, he's going to find faith in you and in me. Don't disappoint him. Amen. If there's others that go wayward or go south, whatever, hey, one will fall at my side, but 10,000 at my right hand, and it shall not come nigh thee. And so what's he say? It's Psalm 91. That was Psalm 91. Another verse in Psalm 91 is, in my pathway is life, and there is no death. Amen. And he redeems us from every plague. That's right. Thank you, Father, for doing it. Minister to your people tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Tune in now Sunday morning. It'll be Palm Sunday. We're going to have our online service Sunday morning. So we'll see you back here then. God bless you. We love you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.